Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Now here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hey there, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet one person at a time. My guest today is Robin Vogel, and she's a fabulous psychotherapist, certified sex coach and sex educator, and creator of her own method of relationship healing called Come Back to Love. And she has this very cool way of marrying traditional spiritual and energetic methods to teach both men and women how to master the energetics of intimacy and come back into love. So Robin's going to speak with us today about how to, you know, keep our relationships going smoothly and find that happiness and satisfaction in our relationships that we all really want to have. And this led me into thinking about relationships in general, and coming up into the Thanksgiving week, and right now my phone's ringing off the hook with people who are upset and having problems in their relationships. I think something about the holidays kind of stirs up the muck for a lot of us. And I don't know about you guys, but my relationships have brought me both tremendous joy as well as some horrifying tragedy, but and certainly a ton of learning. And my motto, or at least what helps me kind of sleep at night when I think about relationships, is that it's all research. I hate the concept of failed relationships. I really much prefer my research idea, because at least we're using our experience in relationships to learn something deep and powerful about ourselves, right? I think we all crave intimacy and connection more than anything in the whole world. And yet it's also terrifying to most of us, the thought of real intimacy. And we want it, and we're so scared of it. And most of us have really no idea what real intimacy is or how to get it. And it's even down to the word intimacy, because you guys know when I'm saying the word intimacy, I hope you know that I mean emotional and physical closeness with another person or persons. In our language, the word intimacy is a euphemism for sex. So if you say, oh, we have an intimate relationship, it means you have a sexual relationship with somebody. And yet we can have intimacy without sex, and we can have sex without intimacy. So it's not the same thing, right? And it makes me really sad, I think, that we aren't taught intimacy and relationship skills as part of our education. It's so tricky to learn how to manage long-term relationships, and even harder when we don't have the right tools and skill sets. One of my friends who's a couples therapist once told me it's like trying to build a house with no plans and no tools. For most of us, once we get past the initial honeymoon phase of relationships, we might enter some difficult waters. Certainly at some point in our relationship, we will. Divorce rates are so high, and divorce is so tough on families and children. I wonder what would happen to divorce rates if we all learned these essential relationship and communication skills like we learned math, English, and social studies. I love to imagine a world in which everyone knows how to bring up difficult issues, how to speak kindly about our innermost feelings, how to ask in a loving way for our needs to be met, and to have deep, meaningful conversations that keep our sex lives alive and well, too. I really notice a theme in my own work with clients that when the sex dries up in a relationship, it's only a matter of time before bigger problems appear. Or is it the chicken and the egg? Maybe the bigger problems that don't get cleared up create a disruption in the happiness of our sex lives. It's probably both, right? But I do know that my guest today, Robin, has some answers about how to get us all to come back to love. Welcome, Robin.
Thanks, Lisa. So great to be here.
Thanks so much for doing the show. I really love this topic. And I'm just so excited to hear you talk about this kind of relationship magic that you do so well. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Thank you. Sure. And I agree with you. It's a really good time to talk about this topic, because the holidays bring up all kinds of issues, like you said. Yeah. So I call my business Come Back to Love, because Come Back to Love is how I live my life and how I am in everything I do, with my family, with my individual and couples clients that I work with, and also in the workshops that I teach. My intention feels like my purpose for being here on the planet is to spread a really big blanket of invitation around the world to invite people back into their hearts. And it's not always that simple in some ways. And in some ways, it's very simple because it's an action that we all can take in any moment. It's just that there's so many things that can get in the way of us taking that action of literally of closing our eyes, taking a breath, and bringing love back into our hearts. And
yeah, I bet that's really powerful. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that would change if you could practice that as a habit. That would probably change how you manage all your relationships, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the things that I teach is a meditation. The short version of the meditation would be to wake up in the morning and close your eyes and think about someone you love, someone that you have a pure loving connection with from, you know, anywhere in your lifespan. Doesn't have to be in the present moment. And turn the volume up on it. Turn the volume up on the love. Turn the sensory, the image, make it brighter. And then use your inhalation to bring in that love as if it's like liquid pouring out of a glass, you know, filling you up, filling your body up with that love. And actually, that very simple practice, doing that every morning, really has a positive impact on your day.
Yeah. Why do you think we get so shut down in our hearts?
That's a good question. Yeah, I mean, of course, we've all grown up with, you know, usually some, I call it big T, little T traumas, some kind of traumas. It might not be a major trauma, but for some it is. And for others, those are smaller traumas, but still add up. And those initial hurts and injuries that we have when we're young, and for some that start in the womb, that's one of the most potent places to look for the obstacles that keep us out of love. Very delicate places inside ourselves that need, that really have their own needs and their own ways of feeling loved. And So for anyone who's done any therapy, you know, in their lives, this is, you know, this is where we start the work.
Right. I really love the work of Harville Hendricks and his imago theory on relationships, you know, and his theory is that we choose our partners to kind of pattern match the best and worst of both of our parents to kind of recreate the trauma, like you said, of our of our early upbringing. So that, because when we're kids, we don't really have the opportunity to be able to work that out. We just get imprinted with that. And then we choose a partner that in we have at least the hopes of being able to actually work through those patterns, right?
Exactly. I mean, any time in our lives when we connect with another being on a soul level, that's a deep connection. There's an opportunity to witness the mirror, the reflections that person is offering to us that are really just a direct expression of what's inside us that we're still working on, that still needs healing.
Yeah, so, I think it's funny. We have this idea, it's sort of sad to say, is we have this idea that relationships are just supposed to make us happy, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of frustration and dissatisfaction when the relationship's not making you happy, but instead it's kind of bringing your stuff to the surface.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I think it's when a lot of people leave their relationships because, like you said, they feel like it's supposed to make them happy. And just that thought is, you know, going to get us into trouble, that anything outside of us can actually make us happy. And other people embrace that opportunity to say, okay, there's something here, there's something rich here that I can follow and do some more healing work. And I know that's been my personal journey, you know, in relationships over many, many years.
And I think it explains why people can repeat the pattern, right? Like, I mean, you've seen it, I've seen it, everyone listening has seen it, this happen too, where if you don't kind of do that inner work and you leave a relationship, you're very apt to just repeat the cycle, right?
Exactly. Yeah, a lot of people that I work with will say things like, oh, I keep choosing the same kind of person, or I keep getting myself entangled in the same, you know, issues. And exactly. And, you know, sometimes that's discouraging, but also what it means is that the next layer is available to you. What that means to me is that is yay, like you're open now for the next layer of healing. I see it as a positive, even though it can feel, you know, it can feel terrible and it can feel frustrating and, you know, it can obviously feel intense. But to me, it means that there's an opening inside our beings for the next layer of healing. And that's an ongoing journey.
Yeah. So if someone's sort of feeling stuck in their relationship, or it's not satisfying or they're kind of in a rut, like what are kind of some of the things that you might, how might you work with somebody to help them move through that?
Well, you mentioned communication, which is really at the foundation. You mentioned, you know, trying to build a house without the foundation, and which is a beautiful metaphor, because communication to me is really, is that foundation. Certainly the biggest piece of it, I think. And so for people that are in relationship that feel unhappy, one place to look, the first place to look is what has been building up over the years that you've been together that you feel frustrated by, angry by, hurt by, places you feel like you've made quote unquote sacrifices and haven't resolved, you know? And so they're just a pile of bricks that really just keep building up in between two people, and eventually there's a big wall and distance and a feeling of, you know, not being seen, not being heard, not feeling loved. And so developing really good communication skills, and I teach certain style of communication where you know, it invites people back into their hearts, just within themselves, and then it provides a framework and language to share over a period of time, depending on how long the relationship's been and how much is built up, but to share these aspects and work with them openly. So I think most people are more inclined to say, oh, you know, it's too hard. I don't, you know, I don't want to get into that conflict, or he's not going to change anyway, or she's always this way, so might as well not bring it up. You know, I hear that a lot. And, you know, but these things never go away. They never fully go away until they're able to be communicated about and shared about and really heard. And it's really deep, vulnerable work for people, but so valuable, because on the other side of it, there's more peace and more love and more satisfaction.
Right. And that's sort of like what, at least when people talk about intimacy, what I think of as a kind of a real critical part of intimacy is having like a safe, having the relationship be like a safe container where you can share your deepest vulnerabilities and your feelings. And I think it's almost impossible unless both people have the same toolkit, the same skills, the same, you know, like I love to send people to couples therapy and to couples couples workshops so that they're on the same page with how to do that, how to listen when somebody's really triggered, how to, you know, share deep things, and, you know, even when it's rocky. And maybe if somebody's really got a problem, they got to come see somebody like you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, whether you go to a couples workshop or come to a couples therapist like me, that's, you know, that's really a great place to begin, because it's true. I mean, we don't speak the same language really as anybody else. I mean, even the words I'm using right now, Lisa, you have your own sort of constructs and ideas about what they mean. And so, you know, most of them are landing because we have a good rapport, but probably there's a percentage of them that aren't going to fully land in 100% the way that I have intended them. And so, you know, put a couple together that's been in relationship that has triggers with each other and, you know, their own individual histories, and it can be really challenging. You know, it depends. I've seen a full range of communication gaps, and one of the first pieces is to provide a safe and sacred place for them to explore, you know, what their deep feelings are and express them, and then listen for, okay, you know, the way that I intended to share this piece, has it landed in the way that I really need it to land?
And if people were listening and they can't get to a couples therapist for where they are, is there some sort of at home exercise that you like to teach your people that you would be willing to share?
Sure. I mean, on a very basic level, reflective listening is the place to start. And that would, you know, the thing is, it sounds simple. And for some people, doing that without support can be really challenging. So, if you're listening and you find, you know, that you try it and it's still challenging, then, you know, okay, then you know that having some support would be great. And other people can jump right in and they find it easier. So, but on a very simple level, you'd sit down, you find, I like to invite people to find a little sacred space in their home. So even if it's just pulling two chairs up to a windowsill and lighting a candle, you know, or it's, you know, a room that's dedicated to relationship, doesn't matter, but just a space for the two of you that's separate from the daily life and the daily, you know, chores and kids and work and all of that. So something that makes the distinction that this is a relationship moment. And then having an object is great, just to have a talking stick, quote unquote, available, just a stone or something, so that you know that when you're holding it, you're the one speaking. Because again, in daily life, we tend to just speak over each other and we tend to have a hard time listening, because mostly when people are speaking, we're thinking about what we're going to say next, or we're saying, oh yeah, I agree, or oh no, I completely don't agree. So the stone is a visual to remind the two that one is speaking and one is listening with an open heart. And then from that place, the one who's speaking shares using I statements, something that's in their heart for that day. And I invite couples to really start with simple things, you know, just sharing something maybe about their work day that was great and something that was frustrating, let's say. And then the person who's listening reflects back what they heard. And they'll say very clearly, I heard what I heard you say is, so actually if your listeners are there and you can grab a piece of paper, what I heard you say is the prompt. And the second prompt is, did I hear you? And the third prompt is there more? So what I heard you say is, did I hear you? And is there more? And then did I hear you? The person who was speaking can say, yes, but there was one piece that got missed. So repeat that. And then reflect that back and keep going until every single thing is actually reflected back. Some couples will go into like, oh, yeah, I heard that. And I just invite them back into actually repeating the words. There's something about having your words repeated back to you that just can, I find, be very soothing to different parts of us that really have a need to feel heard.
Yeah, I think most of us don't feel hurt. It's sort of one of the most common, I think, complaints in relationships is that we get sort of dug in or entrenched into our little, you know, our polarity, into our trenches, and we stop listening and hearing. And I remember teaching somebody the I statement, like this was years ago, and having to sort of explain to them that saying like, well, I think you're a jerk isn't an I statement.
Right.
I think you're
That's
a jerk.
Right.
Like that, you know, that really when we're doing I statements, you know, I think you're something and something, that's about the other person. And the I statement is more, I'm having a feeling about such and such happened, and I'm having a feeling about how that happened, what happened there.
Exactly. I think you're a jerk is what I call blaming and shaming. And so we want to stay away from blaming and shaming, because as soon as we step into that, it's like stepping on a landmine. And we all know if we feel blamed or shamed, it's very difficult to receive that. And usually what we do is shut down, and then we're not in connection anymore. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a difficult practice. I mean, it's, you know, it's simple and it's difficult. And I've seen even the best communicators in my office have trouble reflecting back, especially people that are used to kind of psychologically minded work and used to analyzing. And so they might not use the exact words that their partner used. They might add an interpretation, and they might be right. But this exercise at the foundational level is just about reflecting back.
Mm. Yeah. And I think for people that have been together for a long time, and really are having some deep, like have a lot to clean out, it may take a lot of that before you really kind of get things clear between the two of you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And this is just the first piece. There are, you know, other things, other aspects to the communication style, but this is the beginning piece and a really important piece to master, because it's so valuable in a moment of when you're not in that sacred space with each other, but you're in the kitchen and you're cooking dinner and the kids are around and there's this tension and one's, you know, upset. I use the word triggered. So one's triggered or upset and vocalizing that maybe. And the fastest way to de-escalate is to reflect back what you hear, as opposed to fighting back or feeling defensive or trying to tell your partner she's wrong or he's wrong. The fastest way is to take a breath and say, what I hear you saying is. And that's really high level mastery of this very simple but complex tool.
Wow. I just so hope that there are people out there that do that in the kitchen in front of their kids, because what great modeling for the kids, right?
Yeah, beautiful. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So I can't tell you how many people just, you know, it just de-escalates and
I love it.
Your heart again. Yeah.
That's great. I think that's a fabulous technique. And I'm sure there'll be plenty of people, you know, over Thanksgiving weekend, like, you know,
needing to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I know.
Can you talk for a minute about how this sort of impacts our sex lives as couples? Because I know that's one of your specialties is, you know, as a sex educator and sex coach. So how does this, what happens with people's sex lives over time? It gets all messy and, or they stop having sex, right?
Well, yeah, some people stop having sex. Some people have sex, but it's just, you know, rote. This is what we do every time, you know, 15 minutes and we're done. Some people have sex when they don't really want to have sex, just to appease their partners. And like you said, some people stop altogether for a period of time. And of course, again, you know, same thing as, you know, the communication style it can take, or the communication tool, it can take a while to clear this. But the first piece is this communication piece, because as you start feeling closer, you know, there's more love and connection. And so, you know, one of the things that we work on first is communication. And the other is creating space for physical connection, not sex, but physical connection. And, you know, this can bring us more into the tantra world of how I bring together traditional psychotherapy and the Eastern practices of tantra. But one very simple technique is to breathe together. And couples that, mainly what couples are doing is they're going out into the world, whether it's, you know, working in the world or whatever else, and then they're trying to get back into rhythm with each other. You know, go out and come back together, go out and come back together. And the come back together is what gets challenged over time. And the simple act of sitting together and breathing together, or lying down for a moment, or, you know, 5 minutes and breathing together, is one way to begin to reset your rhythms so that you're on the same page. It's another tool along with the communication piece.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's, and, you know, of course, you know, adding eye contact is helpful. And having a regularly scheduled time to do the reflective listening is really helpful. Most of my couples are doing, even if they have to do it on the telephone, they're doing at least 15 minutes a day. If they're committed to doing the healing work, even if they call each other from the car rides home, you know, to their house, you know, they're each taking 7 or 8 minutes and speaking and getting the reflection back. So, yeah. So breathing together, lying together. There's a simple exercise of spooning where the person behind has their hand on their partner's heart, and then you can switch it and, you know, give and receive in the other direction. But just simple nonverbal ways, again, to connect.
It reminds me, like, we do that when we're dating, and then somehow that falls off when we're in.
Yeah.
And well, I want to give our listeners an opportunity to find out how to contact you if they want to find out more about what you do. What's the best way to reach you?
Sure. The best way to reach me is to go to my website, which is comebacktolove.com. Comebacktolove.com. And there's all kinds of information there about home study courses. If the listeners that are listening today aren't local, ways to work with me on the telephone or Skype, and then local, you know, my local office in Lexington, and local intimate puja circles that I lead twice a month in the Boston area.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy to answer any questions too, because I know sometimes when people listen to the radio shows, it's like all these questions bubble up. And so I just want to encourage the listeners today to feel free to contact me and ask questions, because, you know,
I was looking at your website, and you've got a lot of great content on your website. So I'm sure people could roam around your website and really get some great ideas about how. And I love, you know, even what you started saying in the beginning is that idea of coming back into your heart. You know, that doing that every day. That's such a beautiful I think I'm going to really try it as I go through my holiday season. That's a great piece of advice, because I think we just get so stressed and out of our hearts during the holidays somehow.
Yeah, we get too busy to stay connected to ourselves. And that's where we're, you know, our most loving and best, most aligned selves. So yes, let's all practice that through the holidays. Beautiful.
Absolutely. Yeah, that would be great. And I thank you so much for being on the show today, Robin. I really appreciate everything that you said. And I think you really gave our listeners today some great practical things to start and some ideas of where they can go and what can happen when we really come into relationship mastery. I love the idea of that. Like, it's like Kung Fu masters, but the master of the relationship. It's so interesting.
Thank you, Lisa.
Awesome, honey. Well, have a great holiday season, and let's all try and stay in our hearts as we're going through the holidays. So we all come back to love as we come into the holidays. Thank you.